Good morning. It's good to be with you today. Look forward to our time together, continuing in our series in the book of Jonah. Those of you that are visiting, we've done several lessons in the past couple of months in the book of Jonah. We're in Jonah chapter 4 today, but what we have looked at in the past weeks, of course, is Jonah was told by God to go and preach to Nineveh. Jonah didn't want to do that, and so he goes the other direction toward Tarshish, and he is on a ship, and the ship is tossed by the wind of the storm that God brought, and Jonah requests to be thrown overboard, and he is, and he is swallowed by the big fish, and as he's in the big fish, he prays, and the fish spits him up, and God again tells him the same instructions, again, to go to Nineveh and preach. Jonah does that, and then the people of Nineveh, including the king, do repent, and so that's how we have left it with our last lesson in chapter 3, is that the people of Nineveh did repent. And here we are in chapter 4. So, you know, Jonah has been on this journey, and we see throughout these lessons that God has shown grace toward Jonah. Instead of destroying Jonah for his ingratitude and his, you know, going off in the opposite direction and his rebellion, we see that that Jonah receives grace from God, and Jonah should be very thankful for that. We see that the news of God's judgment going to the city of Nineveh and the inhabitants there and their repentance, that is a great thing. And as we noted in the first lesson, Nineveh was known and the Assyrians were very well known for their vast cruelty. And that's probably perhaps Jonah's reasoning for not wanting to give any, you know, good news or to preach to Nineveh because of their reputation. But as they do call out for the Lord and turn, we see that God relents from the disaster. So generally, when you have somebody that's proclaiming the Word of God and somebody responds to it in a positive way, that's something that there would be great rejoicing. You know, if you've ever had the opportunity to preach the gospel to someone or to teach someone, and that they see what they need to do and they respond to that and they want to become a Christian, that's something that you would usually be very, very happy about, that they've responded to the will of God. That's not what we see with Jonah here. You would think this would be a great victory for Jonah. You'd think he would be excited. But let's look here. It says it displeased Jonah exceedingly. So can you imagine being in a situation where you taught somebody the Word of God and they responded to it and then you were unhappy? That's generally not what we would do. He is very angry. It displeased him. He's angry at what God has done. There's a note in my Bible that says that the Hebrew word here that is translated here, displeased, also can be translated as evil or disaster. And I found that to be very interesting. So this was a great evil to Jonah, one translation says. And so that Hebrew word that is rendered as displeased in many translations can also be rendered as calamity or evil. And so this was something that Jonah had a really bad attitude about. That God has relented from this disaster against the people, but it's a disaster to him. It's a disaster to Jonah. So God turns from bringing calamity on the people, but Jonah is the one experiencing calamity. I found that very interesting. That kind of maybe we have a little bit of a Hebrew wordplay here. That the calamity doesn't come upon the people of Nineveh. The calamity is what Jonah is imagining to be happening to him. That God has relented from doing evil to Nineveh, but Jonah perceives it as doing evil to him. He's very upset. He thinks God's not doing a good job. And you know, that's a very interesting situation, isn't it? Have you ever had a child, you know, have you, a child comes up to a parent and says, you know, I don't really think you're doing a good job. Well, and you know, that might be humorous, but you know, that's usually not going to turn out well, you know, for the child. Or, you know, in the workplace, if there's some subordinate that goes up and finally gets to meet the big boss and is introduced to that person and says, well, let me take you aside here. I've got a bunch of complaints about the way this company is run. And can you imagine the audacity of that? And I know that sometimes that happens. And many people get angry with God. That is not an uncommon thing, and maybe you've been angry with God yourself, or you've known somebody that is angry with God about something that he does or does not do. Why didn't God do something about this situation? Why did he not intervene? How could God allow this to happen? How could God allow this to go on? Why did God not change what was happening? You know, this is not right. This can't be right. You do hear those kind of things that come up in people's minds, and they even vocalize it sometimes. And here is Jonah. He is displeased exceedingly about what God has done. And remember what it is that God's done. He's relented from destroying these people and bringing judgment upon Nineveh, and he is angry, exceedingly angry about that. So this is something that it's not just a little bit of a nuisance to him. This is something that he feels this is a circumstance where God should have done what he said he was going to do in the first place, and I'm angry and displeased that you have not done this, because you did not bring judgment on these cruel people. And so I know, we've never wondered why God didn't intervene with something, or we've never wondered why God didn't do something, or why he did do something. No, that's probably not right. If we can have a moment of honesty, I think at least I can say that we all think that, or I have thought that at times. Why didn't God do something about this? Or I wish he would do something about this. And so Jonah is having one of those moments that he is in a place in his life where he is really not happy. God has done wrong. I'm exceedingly displeased. I'm angry about it. And what does he say? As he prayed to the Lord, said, "Oh Lord, is this not what I said? I told you so. I was right." Doesn't that happen sometimes in our life, that you know, somebody goes down a certain road, they go down a certain path, they make a certain decision, and it doesn't turn out, and maybe you've fretted or you've worried that was not the right thing. We're in college football season right now. People will watch a game and say, "I knew they shouldn't have run it up the middle. They tried that three times and it didn't work. Why do they keep doing that?" And here, Jonah says, "I knew this was going to happen. I knew this was going to happen. Is this not what I said when I was in my country? This is why I wanted to run away. This is why I never wanted to go there. This is why I never wanted to go to preach to Nineveh in the first place. This is why I went to Tarshish, because I knew..." Well, what did he know? "I knew that God is gracious. I knew that you are a gracious God and a merciful God." What an accusation, right? you're accusing God of being gracious and merciful. You know, that's a compliment. But here Jonah has turned this around as being something that is an accusation. That this is a problem. This is a problem with God, is that He is gracious. So he's saying, I know your character and I don't like your character. I knew that you are gracious and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. Can you imagine telling somebody, I knew you were going to be this way. I knew that you were nice. I knew that you were going to do something good for them. I knew you weren't going to get angry enough. So he says, I knew that you would do this, and that's why I ran in the first place. This is what I knew was going to happen. It's the very thing I did not want to happen. So Jonah here is using God against God. That he's using God's character to slander God. You're a terrible God because you're so gracious. You're a terrible God because you're merciful. You're a terrible God because you relented when people repented. Now, here is the ironic thing, if you haven't already thought about that. And who has received the benefit of this mercy? Hasn't Jonah received some benefit of this merciful, gracious God? Jonah is angry about the very character of God that is the very reason that he is still alive. And it's only because God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love that Jonah is having this conversation at all. He is a rebellious prophet that did not want to do his job, that tried to run away from God. And we have seen repeatedly here that God has shown Jonah, this prophet, mercy over and over. You remember what Jonah was doing when he was in the belly of the fish? He was praying. And I think one of the things that I thought about in chapter 2 was the prayer sounded like, I'll be good, I'll be good. Remember what he said here in the last part of chapter 2? But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. I am so thankful for what you have done. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. So chapter 2, Jonah is proclaiming, I'm going to offer sacrifices. I'm going to offer sacrifices of thanksgiving to the Lord. And you know, it's right after that that it says the fish spit him up. So that's what he's thinking as he is in the belly of the fish. That the Lord has... reread chapter 2. It says, the Lord has brought up his life from the pit when he was fading away. You remember that lesson? And it seemed like Jonah was a new man with a new life. And he's going to be thankful now, and he is going to do what he said he was going to do. It infers here, I'm going to be a faithful prophet. I'm going to do what I have vowed. I will pay what I have vowed. But now, what he is saying is, I was right in the first place. I was right in running away. I was right in not wanting to go there. I am done. Therefore, Lord, just take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. I've had enough. I'm done. I'm angry. You're exactly what I thought you would be. I don't want to be here anymore. It's better for me to die than to live. So, you know, Jonah has returned to his pre-chapter 2 thinking that he's running away from the presence of God, and that I tried to quit you now, and I'm going to try to quit you again. We saw Jonah asleep in the ship while it was breaking apart in the storm, not caring if he perished, and here he is again. Jonah's solution, if you remember, to the storm was not repentance. His solution was to drown in the sea. He told the sailors on the ship, throw me overboard. I'm the reason this is happening. Throw me over. Jonah has come full circle now, and he's just ready to die again. He has no room for the grace of God. He doesn't want to hear about grace. He doesn't want to hear about repentance. He doesn't want to teach about that. He wants the wrathful, angry God. But if you're going to be gracious, I'd just rather not be around. You see how angry he is here. He is so angry that he just, just take me away right now. Take my life. Usually when people are praying about their life, they're begging God to live. Or they're thankful that they're still alive. Can you imagine telling God, I'd rather die than live? I guess that does happen sometimes, but what a frightening thing to tell God that I'm so unhappy with you right now that I would rather you just kill me. I'm so angry with what you are doing or not doing. I just want to go. And again, think about where Jonah has been and his attitude that he had when he was in the belly of the fish. How soon people forget the graciousness of God in their own life. And maybe sometimes we forget that as well. We just concentrate on what I don't have, what I don't like. Now this morning, the Owens, who were visiting with Vicki, said, hey, last time I was here, you were having problems with your back and about to have surgery. And I thought, oh yeah, I should be thankful about that. Because that pain went away, has never come back. And the doctor said, if you don't have any pain, then there's no reason to have any surgery. And I've been thinking this morning how thankful I should be because of that. But you know what I've been thinking this week? I think I've got another kidney stone. I'm thinking about what the problems are. I'm not thinking about the good things. And so Jonah here, so quick to forget how the grace of God has benefited him in his life, that he is so ready for God to just wipe him out. And I'm so angry that you didn't do that. I want you to take my life because I'm so unhappy with you, God. That should be a terrifying thing to think about, telling God that God, you are wrong. You are so wrong. I just can't deal with you anymore. And you should just kill me if this is the way that life is going to be. So Jonah's anger, I think you could say it's, when you're at the hospital, the pain meter is, what's on the pain scale? I think he's at the 10, right? He's at the 10 on the anger. So what's God's response? We'll talk more about this in the next lesson, but do you do well to be angry? What would you expect verse 4 to say? What would you expect God to tell this rebellious prophet who is challenging God's character in such an angry way? What do you think God would say to a person that is accusing God of being evil when God is being the opposite of that? Not only they're claiming that God is doing evil, but it'd be better to die than to continue to deal with a God of your character. So, you know, justice is certainly due to this selfish prophet, and you certainly would think God would be right to finally just let him have his wish. But look at what he says. Do you do well to be angry? Jonah, are you right to be angry? Is this a good reason to be angry? Should you be angry, Jonah? So we've come to the heart of Jonah's problem, is that Jonah is angry with God, but God wants him to think about his anger. Of course, the answer is no. He does not have the right to be angry. And being angry is not really being helpful to Jonah. Have you ever been very angry about something? And your spouse or your friend ask you, do you think you're overreacting a little bit? Should you be angry? Maybe you should calm down. And of course, your first reaction is, oh, you're right. I should be calm. I'm glad you told me that. I feel like the weight of the world has suddenly been taken off my shoulders because you told me to relax. It sometimes gets worse, doesn't it? You told me I don't need to be. I'm going to tell you why. No, I should be angry, and here is why. Don't tell me that I shouldn't be angry. But here, the problem that with Jonah, his anger is selfish. He wanted a particular outcome in the world. He doesn't really care about what God is doing, and he wants it to go his way. And he is telling God, you are not running the world in the right way. So what about us? What does it say about our attitude toward God when we get angry at Him? Same thing, isn't it? You're not such a good God. You're not running things the way, if I were God, I would have done this, this, and this. And those words just don't feel right coming out of my mouth even to say them. But you do hear those words come from the lips of people, or at least in their minds, that I don't know why God did this, I don't know why He did this, I don't know why these things are happening, I don't know why He doesn't do something like this, so I'm going to be angry. And God's question is, do you do well to be angry? Do we have an anger problem? The Scriptures are very clear in warning us about the danger of anger. James chapter 1 verse 20 says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Well, this certainly could be talking about Jonah. Paul proclaimed that men in every place are to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or quarreling, when he was teaching Timothy on what to teach others. Paul also listed anger as part of the works of the flesh, that are not the works of, or the fruit of the Spirit, but the works of the flesh. Verse 19 of Galatians 5, now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, etc. And so here, we're told to stay away from it. He also, you know, it seems that this is a theme in all the letters of Paul, telling all people of these congregations to put these things away. Colossians 3 verse 8, now you must put away them all, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. And we could go on and on reading other passages, but you get the point here, that God is telling us that we need to keep our anger in check, that this kind of anger is wrong, and we should not sit in our anger thinking that, oh, well, I'm so right and God is so wrong. And so, when God comes to us and asks us an important question the next time we feel angry, what are you doing, Randy, being angry? Are you right to be angry? And I'm going to fold my arms and say, yes. And you can just imagine the rage in Jonah as he hears that question. But it's a problem that many people wrestle with. People get angry at others. They get angry at their family. They get angry at God. And it may be that there are things in their life that are very difficult. And it may be that there are things that are going on in their family or with others that have caused them to be in situations that are really no fault of their own. And they're asking, why is this happening to me? And they get angry at everybody and they get angry at God. And Jonah here just seems so irrational that he would be this angry about people repenting, but he is so angry that he wants to die. But who is Jonah to proclaim who receives mercy and who doesn't? And who am I to say who deserves a second chance? Who am I to say that somebody is not worthy of forgiveness? Jonah did not do well to be angry here and to be swallowed up in that. He needs to get a grip on that. And if we find ourselves in similar situations, we need to think about God asking us the very same thing. Do you do well to be angry? And if you're honest, you should say no. And not dig in your heels against the gracious and merciful God. Anger is not the way to handle problems. It's not the way to handle problems in your life. Remember that the Lord tells us that human anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Does not produce what God wants in our life. We do not do well to be angry. We are not more righteous than God. We do not know better than God. Jonah did not know better than God. He was not, had no right to accuse God of being generous and to accuse God of being merciful and accuse God of being gracious, as if those were things that are bad traits. Those are wonderful things. And God knows justice better than you do. God knows justice better than Jonah. He knows justice better than I do. And Jonah cannot see what God is doing because he is so consumed by his anger. It's made him blind to the goodness of God. It's made him blind to the generosity and mercy and grace repeatedly shown to him throughout this period in Jonah's life. God's trying to save Jonah with this important question. So we'll continue on with the rest of chapter 4 in our next lesson. But I hope this will be a lesson to us not to be like Jonah in this situation, not to think that we know better than God. Very odd situation for a prophet of God to be in here. But good lessons for us to learn. God has been gracious to us. God has sent His Son to die for us. He has been merciful and loving in the things that He has blessed us with. He's given us the opportunity of eternal life. And it's ours if we will accept it. If we can help you in any way to respond to the gospel, we invite you to come while we stand.
My soul will at last have killed it. I would be thine and thine alone. Endless suffering, my lips are praying, for let me in thy will be done. Sweet will of God, still hold me closer.
it really wasn't particularly convenient to correct this before the service this morning, but I will tell you that I thought for a long time, I do not like the word lost in that course on page one, because I just don't believe that is the way it's ever portrayed to us, that we are lost when we're in Jesus. I really want us to feel physical. Well, make notes, and we'll do this later, correct them on the book. I really want to change that verse to me, but I would do this one. So we've got only one in God, and then there's no discrepancy in there. It's in there twice, of course. That's right. Holy one in me, but I think it would be much more accurate about the Holy Spirit. So I tell you that, I'm saying it that way, and I know what the author means to you. But I want to share with you that I'd like to see that all of you. Good lesson this morning, a good message from Jonah. It's really sad that his view of things when God's trying to be merciful, and he knew that, and still just didn't appreciate that at all. A difficult lesson, I think, for us to hear and to ask to read when someone accuses God of being wrong about this so good. We count on that, we need that. Then we have anything else that should be announced. Good crowd this morning, lots of visitors. We appreciate you being here, taking your time to be here to be with us. It's been encouraging to us, and hope it's been encouraging to you all as well. Look forward to meeting again Wednesday evening at 7. And if the Lord wills, if there's a good at that time, let's get back together and continue our study and worship again with Him, to Him, with each other. Since the service is concluded, let's go to God in prayer to be dismissed, and we look forward to meeting you again.
Let us pray. Dearest Heavenly Father, all-powerful, almighty, all-willing that none should perish but have everlasting life, we thank you for your mercy and your kindness and your long-suffering for when we, at times, get angry at things we don't understand the same way as Jonah did. We ask that you guide us towards peacefulness in our lives, help us when we're trying to help others. Help us as we continue studying your word to know your way. We pray that you can be with those that are traveling anytime, since there's always dangers on the highways. Help people to arrive safely at their destinations. Be with us as we go into our lives, that we can remember to open our mouths at the right time to say good things to people, to help them know that you can be a guiding life, a guiding light in their lives, same way as they may perceive that we are following you in our lives. Be with those that are in foreign lands that are having more difficulty than we do when they're attempting to worship and to serve you. We pray that you can guide things throughout the world. Help leaders of nations to do things that can make the lives of Christians and people that are trying to be Christians to open the pathways for them. Again, thank you for your Son Jesus, through whom we all have the ability to learn and to follow. Through him we pray. Amen.